everyone, welcome back to the Nintendo Prime Podcast, the first podcast of 2019.
Yeah, buddy.
Exciting stuff. Back again with Mr. Eric Moore.
Hello.
And I am always, you know, Nathaniel Ruffajance. You guys know me. You guys see me. It is what it is. Thank you so much for joining us here in 2019. It's already been a very interesting start to my 2019, finding out that losing my job, literally finding out on the first day of the new year. That was fun. Yeah. But you know what? We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about games. I've talked enough about that, right?
Yeah.
So before we get into that, I just want to give a shout out to all of our patrons. We have 51 patrons right now. It is the highest amount of patrons we have ever had at Nintendo Prime. Thank you so much for your support this week and all those that have been supporting over the last, you know, year or so, dating really all the way back to when we launched the Patreon back in 2017, and the podcast quickly became weekly. You guys got this to the weekly goal like that. It was literally, as soon as we put it up, a month later, we were doing it weekly. I know we didn't do a podcast to end out the year. He was gone, and I decided with holidays and everything going on, I was just going to take a week off. It just wasn't coming together like I wanted it to, and I didn't want to force it. So that podcast was supposed to be talking about things coming up in 2019, and maybe that'll be our fourth topic today, but let's just see where the wind takes us. So if you would like to support this podcast and everything else at the channel, be sure to go to patreon.com/NintendoPrime for $5 a month. Podcast-wise, you can get early access to the audio version. For $10 a month, you get to watch this podcast recorded live. And for $20 a month, you can be on an episode of the podcast one time per month. You're invited. Obviously, it's up to you if you want to sign up, because I don't go out of my way to reach out to you beyond a Patreon post, although I do try to make that Patreon post for our $20 backers like well known among the patrons, and also on Discord and stuff like that, because you do gain access to a Discord server as a member of Patreon. So be sure, if you are a $20 backer on Patreon and you haven't been taking advantage of that, be sure to look on the Patreon, look in the post section. It is there. It is up right now to sign up for the rest of this month, because we have four more podcasts to record this month.
Holy cow.
We do? Yes, we
Holy
do.
Holy cow.
It's a lot.
Yes, it is.
So, a couple things. Just some house cleaning. We have a new logo.
Yeah?
Like, it's the same logo, but it's just been cleaned up a bit. Like, a new intro, not to this podcast, but to the channel. There will be merchandise that has that on eventually this year. I'm still working on getting a high quality version rendered on of it to make it possible. Don't worry, the podcast logo ain't going anywhere. Like this merchandise is still hot and still fresh and still available down in the description if I remember to keep the links in. I think I put them in, so I think.
Oh, okay. Well, but, if not, you can always go over to NintendoPrime.net.
What can they do there, Eric?
They can see every single podcast episode.
Every single one of them.
Yes. And have links to all the audios that we have. I think for all of them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, officially. Yep.
Yep. That's the only place where they can get.
And the Podbean bill was paid on time.
Nice.
For like the first month in a while.
There you go.
So, hey, look at that. No downtime in our audio podcast.
Great.
I should let you know where our podcast is available. If you catch us on YouTube and you're just like, I kind of want to listen. Don't want to have to stream like the video version. It uses up a lot of bandwidth on your phone. I get it. Our audio version is available on Google Play, iTunes, and Podbean. There is a Podbean app available for iOS and Android. It is absolutely for free on all those. They're not subscription-based. And all you have to do is look up Nintendo space Prime space podcast. We will be the only one that pops up. Guaranteed, because I double-check it every week to make sure no one else is trying to, like, weasel in on the name and for some reason want their own Nintendo Prime podcast. Nintendo podcast, there's a lot of them. But like, Nintendo Prime podcast, that will specifically find us. And are now 92 episodes.
Yeah, buddy.
By the end of this month, we'll be at 96.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's by the end of February, we're going to be at 100.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy to me.
It is.
So, let's just get right into the topics. And the first one, I don't even need to look at my thing for it. I already know what it is. We are going to talk about what we've been playing so far this year in 2019 on Switch. Mm-hmm. Or if you happen to be playing 3DS, I guess we could talk about those games.
That's funny.
I mean, Luigi's Mansion came out on 3DS.
Yeah.
Possible you could be playing that. I don't know.
You know.
And I want to actually, this is kind of like a new segment. So what have we been playing? I want to kind of bring this up every single week. So what have we been playing this past week? So this also is pressure on Eric, hey, at least play something.
Yeah.
Even if it's just there's more that. Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, try mix it up so it's not Breath of the Wild every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's I know you have at least one, two other games.
Yeah.
So.
I think I have four.
And I could probably send you, give you some codes to some indie games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
I do get review copies, and I'm sure if I just ask them, like, hey, yeah, and I do like indie games. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
And who knows?
So, first off, the big release game this week, because I want to talk about this. I want to always bring up one game from the week that's the biggest release of the week on Switch. And this week, well, I guess last week, is...
Well, yeah, because we're recording Sunday versus
So
Thursday.
I guess it's always the biggest release of the past week instead of the biggest release of this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So the biggest release of the past week is Fitness Boxing, a game that actually has a free demo on Switch. You get 3 days worth of workouts for free.
Interesting.
Pretty cool. And I think it has like a 10-minute workout, a half-hour workout, or it might be a 15-minute. I don't know. I think it's 10, half-hour, 45-minute, depending on the intensity you want to do. You can work your way up the levels if you want. It is obviously a workout. That's it's like a Wii Fit, but for boxing. And I've seen it. I haven't tried the demo yet. I'm actually thinking about putting it into my workout regimen in addition to the Nintendo Prime Workout Challenge already, where I'm doing like 60 push-ups, 60 sit-ups a day. Just throwing this on top so I get even more activity going, especially as my knee gets better. That came out. It's $49.99. A little steep for me. But
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it was Wii Fit, it would have been $59.99. So.
Right.
At least you don't have to buy like a balance board. It just uses your Joy-Cons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't cheat, because like if you're cheating the Joy-Cons in the game, what's the point? Because the point of the game is the workout. See, it's not like Just Dance where like you might, I just want to get all the high scores. I don't care about the workout. Like this game's literally just about working out.
Yeah.
It's not about anything else. but yeah, that was the biggest release from this week. At least according to Nintendo. Obviously, there's probably some indie games and other things that you guys might prefer more. But Nintendo blasted me with emails all week about this game. Clearly, it's the game they are pushing. I don't know if they're in partnership with the studio who made it. But yeah, Fitness Boxing. Check it out. It's an absolutely free demo. If you don't like it, you don't like it.
It sounds interesting.
Try before you buy.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
I mean, if you want to get fit in 2019, maybe it's a way. Maybe Wii Fit didn't do it for you, but a boxing-style workout will. Who knows? All right. So that was the big release. Next, though, we're kind of like transition that into what we've been playing. And for now, it's just what we've been playing so far in 2019, because it's our first episode in 2019.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I guess I'll go first since I already have them all written. I had to write them down to make sure I didn't forget any.
Yeah.
I played some Breath of the Wild.
Nice.
It was actually, I made sure it was the very first video game I played in 2019.
Nice. Nice.
I don't know how many more years I'm going to keep it going where Breath of the Wild is the first game I play.
Yeah.
But so far, one. Yeah, because I don't think I actually it was my first game played last year. But you know what? I'm on a 1 year streak. Let's keep it going. And then, and plus, I just like Breath of the Wild.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Played some Octopath Traveler.
Nice.
I actually did it on live stream, and I'm starting to get back into that. Some Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, because I'm working on a review for that. So that's been a lot of interesting stuff with that game that I'm trying to reserve myself from saying too much, because if I start saying everything, what's the point of the review?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I'm enjoying the game. I will say that much. I am enjoying the game. Doesn't mean I like everything about it, but it does mean it might have drugged me back into Pokemon. I don't know yet.
Oof.
We'll see.
I mean,
the new gen's going to really be the determining factor.
Well, right.
Like, this could be awesome, and if we don't get another Let's Go game, well, then it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
But right. it's at least, I'll say this, made me interested to find out what this new gen is.
Yeah.
Just stay tuned for that for that review. And then I've been playing some Super Smash Bros. Of course. Only been playing online matches. I am currently on a 35 game losing streak. I don't have anyone at 1 GP yet, but I have several characters getting close. I might be legitimately the worst Super Smash Bros. Player in the world. I know there's a YouTube channel out there. I saw there is a YouTube channel out there that has all 74 characters at 1 GP. But here's the thing: like he says, oh, I'm the worst Super Smash Bros. Player in the world. All my characters are at 1 GP. He purposely put it down to 1 GP.
Yeah.
I might legitimately be the worst Super Smash Bros. Player in the world because I am legit not trying to lose, and I can't win. I can't win in 1v1v1v1, items on, items off, stage shadows on, stage shadows off. I can't win 1v1s. And I'm not even playing against top-rated people anymore. I'm playing against people that have like 50 GP, and I'm losing. And it's not because of leg. I'm not one of those guys, the leg. Like, I just suck at Smash.
Yeah.
Let's just admit it right now. Any skills I once thought I possessed, I don't have. I don't even want to play against Eric. I think he would wreck me. And that obviously means there's going to have to be a betting special sometime that's based eventually on Smash.
Yeah.
Because I legitimately think Eric will wreck my face.
And then in that case, at that point in time, I will lose because it's just
the
thing.
Pressure's on.
And no, it's just the thing.
I step up to the plate when it counts.
It's called betting.
Clutch.
Anything that has labeled betting special on it,
I'm clutch.
I lose.
Okay, we won't call it betting special.
Yeah.
The last time it was a game thing, you won.
Yeah.
But we didn't call it a betting special.
Right.
So I mean,
right.
That's the key.
Maybe that's the key.
It just has to be a face-off.
Yeah.
Face-off that has a... something that happens to the loser.
Yeah, right.
We should make a champion. Oh, we should bring back the Gobstopper trophy.
Ooh, yeah.
And start handing that back and forth for the champion. I do. It's out in the garage.
I know.
It's still in one piece.
I saw it.
Still in one piece.
Oh, man.
Anyways, you guys don't know what we're talking about. Maybe if we decide to do a face-off thing, you know, once a month or something for a stream, we'll see what happens. Well, it might have to be, I'm trying to think maybe if it could be like two or three games. Mm-hmm. And like best two out of three. So mm-hmm. like different games, like Smash Bros.
Sure.
Match. And then even if it's like best two out of three in Smash, like that just equals one game.
Yeah.
And then like, Splatoon's not really that fun 1v1. Overcooked.
Yeah.
I think there's a multiplayer in that versus, and something else. I don't know. We'll figure it out at the time. I have a bunch of games on my Switch. We can sort it out and make it work. Mario Party is the obvious choice.
Yeah,
Why am I not even thinking of Mario Party?
I don't know.
Obviously got to be part of it.
Yeah.
Even though that'll be the longest game we play. It doesn't matter. We can make it short.
Yeah.
Anyways. And we wouldn't have computers involved because then if we both lose, what happens? It'll just be 1v1.
We both get punishments.
Oh,
gosh.
So, yeah. I mean, Octopath Traveler, I'm trying to beat because, one, I have the game back again for the first time in a while, so that's awesome, so I can play it.
Nice.
And two, I had a fan send in some fan mail that has spoilers I can't look at until I beat the game. So now extra motivation to finally beat one of my favorite games of last year, if not my favorite.
Yeah.
Maybe even more than Smash.
Ooh.
And Breath of the Wild is just amazing, and
Let's
Go Beat Those Gooby, I can't really talk much about. How about you? What have you been playing?
Oh, goodness, what have I played? I think I've only played Smash this year. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have played Smash. I do not own it. I just thought about it. I should have bought it while I was at Walmart tonight.
He played my copy for a little bit and a friend's copy.
Yeah, yeah.
For a lot of it.
Yeah, him and I switched back and forth on the
World
of Light.
Okay, so here's the thing. Back when we first talked about our initial impressions of Smash, and I kept reiterating, why didn't you pick it up? Why, blah, blah, blah. That's the first time I've actually heard you say, even today, oh, I should have picked it up. Like, you know you're buying it now. It's happening.
Yeah.
What changed your mind? Because I got the opinion you were kind of down on Smash heading into this year after its release.
I don't know. Maybe it was just because of who I was playing it with. I mean, no. That's because I wasn't playing it with you.
I was in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Mocking you for losing at World
of Warcraft. Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's really weird. I have a love-hate relationship with it.
What's that?
The difficulty level of World of Light is so spastic. It's not even funny. Like, there's parts of it where my friend Chris and I were, you know, we generally got through things within 10 times trying it, but I mean, it was, there's some where it took us 10, maybe a little bit more than that times to get. And then there's other ones where we two shot.
It's well, like,
what? And then, I mean, it was a good chunk of them too for a while there where it was just like, we're going in two shotting. And I was like, huh?
Well, then we're going to make the whole thing hard.
Well, right. But
the idea is that if they're supposed to be like you run into a challenge and then it's a little easy for a while, then you run into a challenge. And it's
yeah.
For a while.
But
you never know when the challenge is coming because everything looks kind of the same on the board.
Right. Which is fine to have this, but the challenging ones are so insanely hard and / stupid that...
Give an example.
Oh, God.
One that's not a spoiler of a final boss thing.
I can't remember what... Oh, no, it was for the Geno spirit.
Okay.
You had to fight Peach, Mario, Bowser, Kirby, who was representing Mallo.
Sure.
And then I can't remember who they had representing Geno himself. But you had five characters. It was a stamina battle. and timed.
Yes.
So
the best kind of
battles. And Bowser doesn't fly very well.
No, he doesn't. He's a big boy.
So you would beat the hell out of Bowser, or he would beat the hell out of you, because let's just say you're facing three at a time, and they just sit there and play juggle with you, and it's just ridiculous. And I can't remember how the heck Chris ended up beating it. I don't remember what happened, but it was just crazy.
What character did you beat it with?
A donkey.
Donkey.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. We found out that DK, or those that use like fists, so like probably like Little Mac or Ryu or Ken, mm-hmm. The fighter ones, mm-hmm. seem to have spirits that make them ungodly.
Okay.
So we had I know the one spirit was for increased fist power, attack power.
Oh sure, yeah.
Increased physical attack, and then increased dash smashes.
Okay.
So like with those three spirits, we hung with those three spirits for a while. And then sub spirits, because they're not the primary spirits, we hung with those for a while. And then he got one that I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it increased his final charge, final smash charge, or I can't remember exactly what it did. But we replaced one with that, then kind of just rolled with that.
Sure.
But we're talking to the point where it got, you know, handful 10, 15 things in a row where we were just two-shotting things. It's just like, I mean, the one time he did damage, it went from 0% to 108 in one smash, one side smash.
Oh yeah, I had some matches like that.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
So
sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Get good.
Yeah,
I think you guys are better at Smash than me, so it doesn't.
Yeah, so
I have learned I could not trash talk about Smash anyone. Anyway.
It was just kind of funny because we were talking about on a video that they watched. I don't remember who it was, but they said nobody mains Donkey, and they're all like, Eric does, and then it turns out that we ended up basically rolling with Donkey all the way through. We got through Gleam, and that's all I can say.
Nice, yeah, yeah. I can't say much about Smash. My 5-year-old son beat me in a match. So,
nice.
He button mashes, and he beat me in a match.
You know, that's the thing.
I know what I'm doing.
Apparently
I don't. I'm really bad at the game.
Right, right.
I know the upbees and the downbees and the side A's and the little air dodge and like I know all this stuff. I know shield. He doesn't even shield.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
Granted, he always wanted to play with items on. But I like playing with items on, so it shouldn't be a problem. And he's just wrecking me.
Yeah.
I'm just convinced I'm too old.
Yeah.
The younger generation's got me already. Yeah. He's only 5, and he's already better at Smash, and he doesn't even know how every move works yet.
Yeah.
However, I will say this. I didn't know he knew how to recover. He knows to use upbeat to recover.
Oh, nice.
I did not know he knew how to do that until I almost had him, and all of a sudden he upbeat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was a fluke, right? He's just button mashing. Yeah. Then I just throw him off again, and he does it again, and I'm like...
Well, all right.
Okay. But, bud, your 2DS and your copy of Smash on that is going bye-bye. He just got it for Christmas.
Nice.
And he's already better. He's probably not better than me overall. To be fair, I wasn't playing with, like, one of my mains.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to experiment with somebody else and, like, you know, not necessarily trash my kid. But I thought I was going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not one of those parents that just hands your kid a victory for moral. Yeah. Morale. Like, no. I want him to be proud when he beats me and it's legit.
Yeah.
And it happened the first match. And I haven't rematched him since. So.
Scared?
I'm not very good with King K. Rool. Let's just say.
Nice.
Okay. I was playing around King K. Rool and I'm just not.
Yeah.
I could beat the CPU with him, no problem. My son's better than the CPU. I don't know. I'm pathetic.
Couldn't tell you.
I'm just pathetic.
I will say one thing about button mashing, though, and it can be so unpredictable that you just don't have a clue what's coming. If you've played people enough times...
But he doesn't shield. I should be able to grab him.
You should.
But all of a sudden, like I go to grab him, and next thing you know, like because he was playing with Pikachu, and he thundershocks me, and I'm like, I know it's coming.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's one of my mains.
But, yeah,
But like he doesn't know what he's doing. I just see him doing, you know. I'm just like, all right, grab, get ready. What the?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I didn't even see.
I don't know. Couldn't tell
you.
Yeah, right. But yeah,
he got off a spinal smash on me. And with Pikachu, you have when you do the final smash, you have to hit him with the initial part of it in order for it to work. It's not like before where you could just hit the final smash and just fly over the screen. You actually have to hit a person with it first in order to fly all over the screen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a dud. He hit me.
Yeah,
I didn't even know how to use the final smash until like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He already knew after like a day.
Yeah.
I'm bad at video games, guys. I'm just bad at video games.
And with
this is why I don't play fighting games.
And on that note, I resigned from this channel, and we are now done.
Yeah, I just lost the respect of my entire channel in this conversation.
Yeah, right.
It's okay. They've seen me play. They've seen me play live. Yeah, they know. Yeah, yeah. They know. They're aware. And there ain't no skill when it comes to Smash over here. I do not live
up to where Prime things happen.
Debating on inviting OJ to come face me in a match, like just cockily challenge him on Twitter, have him come over and just wreck me and like no, like nothing.
Yeah.
I'll be like, dude, items on. I only play with items on and he'll still wreck me. It won't matter.
For sure.
Anyway, my only hope with items on is that a whole bunch of the assist trophies drop and I get every single one of them.
Yeah.
And they do all the work for me.
Yeah. There is that.
Then I get the hammer.
Yeah.
Just have every good item possibly fall to me.
Yeah, right.
All right. Our next topic is actually about this month. There might be a January Direct happening.
Ooh.
Now, there's been a Nintendo Direct or a Nintendo Direct Mini, one or the other, every January for 5 of the last 6 years.
Hmm.
I think the last one we didn't have one was 2012 or something like that. So it's been pretty consistent in coming out.
Which means they won't do one.
Well, I don't know why they would. They have a lot of games to talk about now.
Yeah.
And we don't know what NES games are coming. We don't know what new games are being added to the service this month yet. So there's a lot of reasons to think there's going to be a Direct. And it's not like we know yet because Nintendo only gives us like a day or two notice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it's going to drop on the 10th or the 17th or something, like we're just not going to know right now.
Right.
There has been a quote-unquote leak out there. As I've noted throughout the two videos I made on the leak and then the update to the leak that had the transcript, it's fake. I'm sorry. Animal Crossing Back to Basics isn't a thing. Animal Crossing on Switch is a thing. It being called Back to Basics and abandoning all the things that made New Leaf the most popular Animal Crossing of all time, they're not going to abandon that and go back to the GameCube. As much as I'd be like, oh, it's cool you went back to the GameCube, but like, why are you going back to the version that sold the least?
That actually is a great title, though.
Back to Basics?
Yeah, I like the title. But... I mean, other no. I mean,
it's better than Amiibo Festival.
Right. I mean, I like the title. It doesn't necessarily mean what it represents. I like the title.
You like the title, okay? There's a lot of other red flags in there as well, but I don't really want to go over that leak too much because I don't know how much Eric knows about it, and I've already talked about it a bunch. I don't really feel like
nada
retreading that ground.
I knew there was a leak only because of you.
Assuming that there is a Direct this month,
yes.
What do we actually want to see in it?
Hmm.
We don't have like release dates for anything. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe on the 11th. Travis Strikes Again on like the 18th. And a bunch of I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. You know, new game announcements potentially. Third party games we want to see.
Right.
Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out this month. Eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I doubt we're getting a Kingdom Hearts 3 announcement. I mean, again, you can want one. It's fine to want one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, be interesting to see if they'd update anything on Metroid Prime 4.
Ooh.
That would be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, again, with any sort of Animal Crossing update would be interesting. Yeah,
I think a lot of people just want to know what this is.
Right.
We have not had a new mainline one since 2013, so we're going on 6 years.
That's crazy.
It's a long time for a franchise that doesn't feel like it needs 6 years of development.
Right.
Then again, it's also a franchise you know that you can play for years at a time.
Right.
So I understand having a gap, but like this is a
long gap. That is a long
gap.
It is,
we are way overdue for a series that's as popular as it is, too. Now, I think part of it was we didn't get one on Wii U. Like, there's been like one per generation. Like, one on Wii, one on GameCube, one on 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we just didn't get a Wii U one. So, that's kind of extended the gap, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I just need to see what this is. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to screw it up. The only way to me they could screw up Animal Crossing is if they EA the hell out of it. And I don't think Nintendo, like, whatever criticisms I might have for DLC practices and stuff they've done.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They're not EA yet. And I don't think they're going to be anytime remotely soon that we need to even worry about it.
Yeah.
So that being said, since I don't fear them microtransactioning the hell out of it, because it always scares me, because it's like the perfect game to do it. Because it's all cosmetics. The entire game is about cosmetics.
Oh, for sure.
The entire
game. Oh, for sure.
It's all about decorating yourself and your house. That's like one of the huge aspects. And so, since I'm not worried about Nintendo doing that, I think it's going to be awesome. As long as no leaf tickets, Nintendo. Please,
I'm
no leaf
wondering
tickets.
If they're not going to make like an expanded Pocket Camp.
I think Pocket Camp's going to be connected.
Oh, for sure. I
think it's
going to
be
100%.
I think you might even be able to port in your character from Pocket Camp. You might be able to go, like, Pocket Camp is like, oh, you can leave your town and go camping in Pocket Camp and then come back. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can go leave your town in Pocket Camp when you leave the house and come back. Obviously, you can have your Switch with you, too. But it's one of those situations where I think there's going to be a connection. I think that's going to be the first,
without a doubt,
the first Nintendo game on mobile that will have a direct connection to a game on Switch. Not just, like, being a sequel, but, like, actually being linked. That hasn't happened yet. Super Mario Run doesn't link to anything. Fire Emblem Heroes does not link
Pokemon?
To anything. Pokemon Go, sure, but Nintendo didn't develop.
Pokemon. Right. Yeah.
Actually, didn't develop Pokemon Go or
right, Pokemon. Right. But
so, I know publisher, blah blah blah. But I don't. I kind of set that aside. It's more of a second party kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting if that happens, because here's the thing. I know some people don't like Pocket Camp, and I get it.
It's definitely campy.
It's got less content. Obviously, it's not a full Animal Crossing game. But come on, it's better than Happy Home Designer. It's better than Amiibo Festival. And it's on your phone.
Those
and
are
it's,
fantastic names.
And it's on your phone and it's free to play. I mean,
Happy Home Designer.
I mean,
oh, God. That is
literally bought the Happy Home Designer new Nintendo 3DS. Okay. I bought the dang thing, so I played it. I played Happy Home Designer.
That's a
it's not that great.
Name.
It's like we wanted to make a sequel to Animal Crossing, but we took out all the things that make it fun and let you decorate your house and microtransaction you. Now, granted, I'm sorry, Isabel, but I immediately swapped out the faceplates. To be honest, the reason I bought this is because this has swappable faceplates. So I imported some ones from Japan, Legend of Zelda style, and instantly installed those. And I actually think, because you know how I sold all my 3DSs?
Yeah.
This 3DS I still own. It is at my parents' house in a box with a game in it.
Holy cow, wait, what?
And I think it's Majora's Mask 3D.
Holy cow, wait, what?
But at my parents' house. Happy Home Designer, like, no. But Animal Crossing Switch, yes.
I have an idea.
I hope.
It'd be interesting.
What?
A Animal Crossing, like, farming simulator crossover type thing.
So like a Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon-esque?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Be an interesting
thought. I mean, it would fit.
Yeah.
Having some farming elements in there. I mean, not necessarily all the RPG stuff, but some some elements, yeah. I mean, you could pick apples already. You can go fishing. Why not grow some corn?
Yeah.
Especially since it's a game all about time. I'm trying to think about some other stuff here. I think we're going to get a bunch of release dates.
Yeah.
Or at least the next few months. I think we're going to get a release date for Yoshi's Crafted World.
Yes.
Daemon X Machina. Mm-hmm. Those two, I think, for sure. I want to think Fire Emblem Three Houses, because that was slated to come earlier this year or early in this year, but that might be more towards the summer, so we might just get like a,
may or may not
like a trailer and a generalized
coming
early summer to this year or whatever. If Animal Crossing is coming summer, I do expect to finally see first gameplay. If it's not coming summer and it's not coming till way later this year, I don't know that we'll see it yet.
Right.
But you never know. I mean, they already teased it, so who knows?
If I had to guess, I'm guessing we're probably not going to see anything Pokemon related.
No.
Because of the fact that Let's Go just released not too long ago.
Well, on top of that, they've never unveiled a Pokemon game in a direct.
Ah, that too. Okay.
Doesn't mean it won't happen.
Right.
It's first time for everything, but Pokemon's always done its own thing.
Okay.
Like, even for E3, think about it. Let's Go was unveiled and had its own thing before
E3. That's true.
So,
that is true.
Now, that doesn't mean that it can happen, and it would be shocking to a lot of people since no one expects Pokemon to be unveiled. It'll be in a direct if it's already been unveiled. But if it hasn't been unveiled, like no one mm-hmm. expects Pokemon. At least you shouldn't. Right. I know a lot of people. I've read a lot of comments saying we better see the new gen Pokemon. Like, dude, it's a year away. They literally said it's coming at the end of this year.
Yeah,
we are still like 11 plus months away from seeing this game.
It would not surprise me if they revealed it at E3.
I don't know. I mean, the only way I see it being an unveil at E3 would be if they don't have anything.
Another major title.
Like if they kind of played all their cards and we already know about everything this year, everything major, and they're like, you know what, we're going to drop Pokemon because it's going to blow people's minds.
Yeah.
And that would obviously be a first time too, because that's never happened.
Right.
So, but I think they got plenty. I think there's a new Mario in the works. We know there's a new Zelda game in the works. So they have plenty. I mean, they could have something new to show off. Or tease for the next year. And the thing is, if we haven't seen Metroid Prime yet, you can end it with Metroid Prime footage.
Yep.
You know, I still think Bayonetta, like Bayonetta 3, is not going to be shown again until the Game Awards. Just because we didn't get it at the last Game Awards, I still think we're not going to actually see the game until the following Game Awards. I think it's a 2020 game. So I think it'll be shown at the Game Awards and then released in 2020. Yeah,
that's possible.
But For this particular one, you know, those specific release dates, we'll get some updates on some indie titles that are coming as well. Of course, they'll always do like a little indie sizzle reel. Or if there's any exclusive indie game, they usually are the ones that get any individual highlight.
Ooh. You think we'll see any... no, I suppose nothing probably for that, because there was no gameplay at all for Ultimate Alliance 3 when it showed the Game Awards.
Yeah, there was some gameplay.
No, I think I was pretty sure it was all trailer. Almost positive it's all true. Okay,
maybe. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. So it's possible. Yeah, that's supposed to be coming this year.
Yeah.
So we could see something for that, and that's exclusive. Nintendo paid for exclusivity of that. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. How long the exclusivity is, I don't know.
Well, if Nintendo's publishing it, it's forever.
Right.
Because then they legitimately...
Right. The game that's saying they are.
The game exists because of them. It's like with the Bayonetta 2 and 3 thing.
I mean, it could also
but we
be,
don't know.
It could
we don't
also
know if
be a paid exclusive.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Well, they didn't say timed exclusive at the time. They said Switch exclusive, which made me think this isn't a timed.
Okay.
Yeah. But who knows?
Right.
It's not
exactly.
here yet. Things could change. But if Nintendo's not fully paying for it, who knows?
Oh.
What? What
are
you
going to get some FFCC stuff?
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered. It'd be nice to see some of that. It'd be nice to see...
Because it looked like it was just a lot of what they showed was just
like,
a retread of the old game.
I don't know, and I don't know if we're gonna see a lot yet. I mean, here's the thing:
do we know when that's supposed to come out?
No.
Okay.
The whole bunch of Final Fantasy games are coming to Switch this year.
Right. Okay.
So we could get some release dates for some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Remastered's coming to a bunch of systems, not just Switch, and I'm thrilled for it. I think it's going to mostly be a pretty lazy remaster, though, just like the new visuals.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same game, except
updated visuals.
Changed how the controls work a little bit, because you're not going to have the GBA is hooked up. But.
Yeah.
Man, otherwise, like, I think I'm just ready for a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to surprise us kind of like last year. We got hit with Dark Souls Remastered.
Yeah.
Coming to Switch. Yeah, multi-platform, whatever. Doesn't matter. It was unveiled first. On Nintendo Direct. So that's what sucked about it being delayed for the Switch was that like it was initially unveiled for the Switch before it was unveiled for anyone else.
Right.
I think there's going to be something like that. And I don't know what it's going to be. It would be crazy if it was Kingdom Hearts 3, even if it's going to be a late port. There might be people that hold off on getting Kingdom Hearts on other systems to get it for Switch later.
That would be smart on Nintendo's part to do
it. But that's if Square is going that far. I don't know if they are. I don't know if the game can run in it. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's possible, you know, a late port of Call of Duty is announced, especially since Call of Duty numbers are dipping and Activision's not looking too hot. But I think if there's a chance for Call of Duty on Switch, it'll be the next one.
Yeah.
It'll be that, hey, Activision's not going to ignore the audience anymore because their numbers are dipping and there's an audience they're not even touching.
Right.
So they might as well. You know, even if it's only a million in sales, it's a million more sales than
they
had before.
Yep.
So I'm not worried about seeing that yet. That would be more like an E3 thing, I think.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I was trying to think of like what major multi-platform third-party games are even coming out early this year, and I can't think of like one that sticks out that's not already coming. Like Mortal Kombat 11's coming. I don't know if that's early, but we know that's coming. You know, Team Sonic Racing's landing in the summer, so I'm not sure what there could be, but I think there's going to be something surprising.
It'd be nice to see a Ninjala.
Ninjala would be nice because that's supposed to be coming out.
Yeah,
that's one that we haven't heard about in a while. That would be nice to see Ninjala get a release date for that.
Yeah,
that would be nice. Man, I really want Ninjala to really stay bad.
Right.
There's also... It'd be interesting to see if they decide to show off any Doom Eternal footage on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first ever Doom Eternal. Because we've seen Doom Eternal footage last year, and we know it's announced for Switch, but we haven't actually seen Switch footage yet. It'd be nice to see the first gameplay reveal of Doom Eternal on Switch with an announcement of it being day and date.
Yeah.
Like, right now, we presume it is, because it doesn't have a different release date, but we haven't seen footage for it. Yeah. So it's like, until we see footage of it before the game comes out, we assume it's going to be delayed. Yeah, That's the assumption we should have. It'd be interesting if, because of the partnership they've been having going on with Bethesda, what if the next Wolfenstein game is unveiled on Switch? Because they did say the next Wolfenstein game Switch is going to be doing. So they unveil it first on Switch like Dark Souls Remastered did.
That would...
But it's really for all platforms. That would be a nice one. Even though we already know that one, it would be like, you're unveiling this first on Switch? That's going to get some hardcore gamers to be like, oh man, I got to start watching Nintendo Directs because you don't know what games are going to be announced, even if I'm not buying it on Switch.
Right.
I'm trying to think like if anything else. I mean, there could be other remasters coming, of course.
Yeah,
that's always a possibility.
Be interesting to see.
It'd be nice to see Spyro Reignited actually announced for Switch.
Yeah,
a lot of people presume it's going to come to Switch, even though it's never once been confirmed.
Well, it has had those leaks.
Yeah, but it's never once been confirmed
on the website.
So it's like, let's get some confirmation and have that come this year.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, yeah, it's late, but hey, it's better than nothing. I'm sure a lot of people appreciate having the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
Yeah.
So, like, why not if we can get Spyro Reignited?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Nintendo's got a lot of games coming this year. I mean, there's a lot we're not even touching on that I just don't think are coming until later, so I don't know how much we're going to hear about them. I think for Nintendo, it's going to be Daemon X Machina, Yoshi's Crafted World, maybe even a Labo thing announced associated to it, just because Yoshi is like cardboard.
Seems like it fits.
It's cardboard, so it kind of makes sense. I don't know what it's going to be. And then Fire Emblem. Those are like the kind of the big three, and then they could tease like the Animal Crossing or whatever that they've already announced, but haven't shown anything. Like a tease of something big that isn't going to come till later this year, but it's just going to be like, hey, look, if you're not excited for these games, we still have like this big one coming.
Yeah, don't worry, we still got you this year.
Yeah, like
unlike last year, we still got you this year.
We still got you. It would be interesting to see, you know, what if there's like DLC announced for Octopath Traveler or something?
Right.
Or Mario Odyssey.
I was kind of wondering if there was going to be any more like DLC for any other games.
Well, so Furukawa said they were going to start having, he said this at an investors meeting last year, that they were going to start working on or focusing on DLC for their evergreen Switch titles.
So that would make one assume...
Breath of the Wild, but Breath of the Wild had DLC already, and you would presume they're already working on the next
one. Right, which would
but
then...
But I think they're working on the next Mario game, but... Currently, at least temporarily, Mario Odyssey is the best-selling game on Switch, so that's evergreen.
Right.
Mario Kart 8 is...
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Crazily evergreen.
Yeah, and it has
and
it
it's not even technically a Switch game. It's a Wii U port.
How long has it been since that's gotten any updates? Like, or additional DLC or characters
has
or anything?
Has it even gotten any on Switch? I don't know. Like I don't recall any new content additions besides when it was
released.
Launched back in like April or something.
And especially if the kind of quote unquote rumors are true that this is going to be, solid.
What if they tease Mario Kart Tour, which we know is being made for phones? They've never done that at a direct, but let's just say they tease it, and like people are like, oh geez, it's going to be one of these kind of directs, and then all of a sudden, boom, Mario Kart 9.
Yeah. Mario Kart.
Because the Mario Kart team's got to be doing something.
Yeah, you'd figure.
They made ARMS. They're done making content for ARMS.
Yeah.
They got to be doing something.
Yeah. Unless they're coming out with another brand new IP.
Well, that's possible. Nintendo has been focusing a lot on the new IPs, and ARMS was... It sold over 2 million copies. 2 million copies is nothing to sniff at for a fighting game.
But
just because it's not Smash. No fighting game sells Smash numbers, let's be clear.
Right.
Smash is like in its own tier when it comes to selling.
But
it's in its own tier on Switch right now when it comes to selling.
Right.
So. Pokemon Next Gen might actually get up there. We'll see.
Right. The next question is, though, is that how long can you go in between a Mario Kart game, though?
I don't know. Well, they usually have one per generation. However, the one that we got was a port.
Right.
That's the thing that makes me think a Mario Kart 9 is possible on Switch.
Right.
Whether or not this is the time, 2020 might be a better year since it's still selling. And you get far enough away, you know, 3+ years away, then people might be ready for
it. Wouldn't surprise me if they gave maybe a little bit of content DLC type of thing for it, and then, At the beginning of next year, something comes out with the new one.
We're working on DLC for our Evergreen titles. They already had DLC for Xenoblade. They had, which wasn't, I don't know if that's Evergreen, but it sold well enough to have DLC. You know, they had DLC for Breath of the Wild already. They had that pre-planned out. The only ones are Mario Odyssey, Mario Kart, and Smash, but Smash has DLC already announced, so... Yeah. I mean, I feel like Odyssey DLC is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
If they end up not doing it. Now, the caveat is, if they're doing a quick turnaround Odyssey 2 like they did with Galaxy 2, that could be why. They could be like, well, we're not going to release DLC because we're actually working on a quick turnaround Super Mario Odyssey 2 to land at the end of this year, which would just be insane if you have an Odyssey 2 landing when you have a Pokemon landing. Like, I'm sorry.
Right.
It only gets more insane if they delayed Smash Bros. And released it in that same time period.
Yeah, right.
That trifecta, and then you follow it up with a Zelda in, like, January. Oh, oh, my God. I don't know that there are enough Switches they could manufacture from now until then to meet that demand.
The only problem with that is
a lot of money.
a lot of money, too. How does anybody have time to play all of those games at
Christmas
once?
Christmas break, baby. We're old.
Yeah, we're old.
Just because there's no such thing as a Christmas break for us.
Yeah, right.
You remember what Christmas breaks were like when you didn't have a job? Yeah. I hope you remember. We're not that old.
No, I know. I know.
Remember what it's like?
I know.
To have 2 weeks to just sit down and play games
and
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I miss those days. The thing is, I get to play games for a living, but I rarely get to like sit down and just play for long sessions unless I'm live streaming. My reviews notwithstanding, of course, I find times to play it in bed and stuff. But it's just an interesting time that we're living in now with Switch. It has so many games announced for this year that I'm not sure they need any more first-party announcements this year. But I also think if they don't announce something, even if it doesn't come this year, it'd be a little weird. Not now, but like throughout the year. They have to, even if Metroid and Bayonetta end up being 2020 titles, like you need more for 2020 than that. And the thing is, we came into this year already knowing about like 7 or 8 exclusives landing this year in a 12-month period.
Yeah.
Like it would be nice if not only are those games landing, but we know about 7 or 8 new exclusives coming in 2020 too.
Right.
Like, and honestly... 2020 feels like it's time for a Zelda again. It's been 3 years. Time for a Mario game again. It's been 3 years. Yeah. Those teams are doing something.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's time. And then, and again, us getting a major console Zelda game every 3 years has always been the pipe dream.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of like a Majora's Mask or when they really shocked us with Twilight Princess after the Wind Waker, it like doesn't happen. It's 5 years. But whatever. We can dream. Eiji Onomu said many times he wants it to be 3 years. So... now's the time, man. You got the most successful Zelda of all time. If you can get it on a 3-year schedule now, Zelda's going to be balling for a while.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of, so much hype going on just because of Breath of the Wild. And if the rumor that's floating out there about Breath of the Wild, which we're going to get into here in a little bit, about it being a 2020, like a sequel or a prequel or something coming, that's going to have hype just because it's attached to Breath of the Wild.
Oh, I know. And that's exactly where I was thinking it would go.
But again, that's something I don't think they'll announce now. Later this year. That's like an end of E3 surprise kind. That's like a hey, this isn't this is like the Metroid Prime 4 logo. Like this is the this is coming next year or this is coming in the future. But,
oh boy, could you imagine another like Zelda E3? Oh god, that'd be so much fun. Again. Oh god, because that was so amazing.
Running the credit cards up for that trip.
Yeah, right.
Because I ain't missing that. It was much awesome the first time.
Yeah, it was.
And that was for another really company. Now that it's for Nintendo Prime.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that would be exciting.
Right.
Oh, Nintendo, please do another Zelda themed E3 in the future.
Yeah, right.
I am gonna be all over that.
Until they announce one and they don't, and they go like Mario route.
Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of Zelda,
yes,
the last topic we had planned anyways has to do with the Zelda series because of that rumor that I talked about that comes from it's a user on Reset Era, so you can choose not to believe it. His name's King Zell, but he's teased some other things in the past that turned out to be true on Switch already. He's so far has not had one thing he said not come true. He has a few things still floating out there that haven't been proven right yet, but they haven't been proven wrong either.
Yeah.
So he's gotten like 3 things right, and he's got like 2 other things that we're still waiting on, including one from Square Enix this year, and then the Zelda thing now he's kind of threw out there. But something related to Zelda is coming in 2020. He just said something. We don't know what it is. Could be DLC. That would qualify as something. Breath of the Wild DLC coming out that late after Breath of the Wild came out. And, that feels a little late.
Be interesting.
It also means if the DLC is coming down, how far away are we from another Zelda game?
They also said, though, that... I thought they said they were done with Breath of the Wild DLC.
They did. But I mean, then granted, Furukawa granted, said...
mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
They also
weren't
releasing
that.
A new iteration of the DS, and then a week later they announced the new Nintendo DS.
Yeah, right. No, I get so. That. I get that doesn't mean anything, but...
Or it was the 3DS and 3DS XL, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally a week later they announced it. It's like they knew. They just didn't want anyone else knowing. So my thing, I guess, is... I want to talk a little bit just about, we've had this conversation before, but I feel like it's more relevant now than ever because we finally have a rumor that isn't like those fake leaks.
Right.
This is, or likely fake leaks. We don't honestly know if they're fake, but we're pretty sure those E3 leaks are fake. Or E3 leaks, the Nintendo Direct leaks are fake. This is a leak that has at least a little backing because the guy has had some stuff right.
Right.
And because of that, it's worth actually thinking about.
Right.
What sort of game would you want related, or what sort of what Breath of the Wild related thing would you want in 2020? Like what? Like you think, okay, something related to Breath of the Wild is releasing in 2020. This is what I want it to be.
I know I've said it before in other podcasts, but a prequel, like what happened the 100 years beforehand?
Yeah.
How things were back then, and actually
the cutscenes weren't enough for you?
No, they were, but.
There's a lot of gaps, though, that we don't know.
There is, there is. And it'd be interesting to kind of see, you know, be in that time period. See what happened, how it actually all went down. Be an actual game that you cannot beat.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it was 100 years ago in a prequel, you already know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
You get put to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually win. You lose.
Mm-hmm.
You lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason the whole world doesn't fall into chaos is because Zelda's holding, you know, using her power to hold him back.
Yeah.
But she's not winning.
Right.
So you lost. You were going to die. And so they put you in hibernation because you were going to die, and it took you 100 years to heal.
Yep.
So that would be interesting. I've always been into that, where having a Zelda game that takes place in a time period where you know the outcome, you know what the outcome and then what happens after that outcome, but you don't know all the things that led up to the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Example. All the things that led up to Hyrule being flooded that led to the Wind Waker. We know that Ganon won, or Ganondorf won, and then the goddesses flooded the land.
Right.
To try to save, ironically, save the land. But we don't know how he won outside of the fact that Link never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if Link never showed up, then how come when Link isn't around, Zelda seems to always be able to hold him off, or like in Breath of the Wild? Why could she hold him off in that? But she
100
couldn't.
Years. Yeah.
But she couldn't this time. Was Zelda also not there? Or if she was there, how did she fail? How did Zelda fail?
Oh, maybe
or
it's
how,
just...
How did... Or, like, maybe if the sages were just going to flood... Or, like, the goddesses were just going to flood the world anyways...
Yeah.
If he won, why did they try to put a stop to him before he won?
Because
they're more powerful than him.
Right. And so, going with the Breath of the Wild here, it could be the fact that, you know, she's been battling for 100 years. It's, you know... Or I don't know how... You
yeah,
know,
the,
where
entire,
that...
the entire 100 years.
Yeah, yeah, so it's...
She's been
so maybe it's
pulled, like
maybe her powers are just waning, and then that's how you know you all of a sudden you wake up at the exact perfect moment. Obviously,
maybe you can go there whenever you feel like it.
Well, right. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
but yeah, no, I think a prequel would be exciting. I know the voice actors that have already spoken out that they would love to do more Breath of the Wild stuff.
Yeah.
And some of those characters that were in Breath of the Wild would still be in the other games. So they would be younger. We've seen some cutscenes where they were a little younger. But some of them would still be like Mipha. Mipha was still grown up. Because like all the champions are dead.
Right, right.
Spoiler warning, I guess. Another, I don't know why it's a spoiler at this point. Right. But all the champions are dead in Breath of the Wild. They would be alive then.
Another interesting thing. I know we've talked about in the past having a multi-run through of different characters' point of views.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to see a playthrough of all the different, like, the kind champions? Of a backstory and stuff of all the different champions.
Yeah, that would be fun. I think it's always fun to like dive deeper into the lore, and you get that once you get out of Link's eyes and see the world from somebody else's perspective. Because right now we always see it from Link's perspective.
Right.
It'd be nice to see it from somebody else's.
Because I know we've talked about having like a one game where you kind of you come up to the ending and you can't actually play the ending until you've gone through like a Zelda a Zelda phase, a Link phase, and a Ganondorf phase.
Oh, yeah,
phase.
We talked about the actual path.
Path.
Like the Triforce path.
Yep. And you can't actually
do the final battle until you see all three perspectives.
Right.
And yeah, maybe it always defaults to Link for the final battle, but still.
Right, which is
like,
fine.
You actually have a bit greater understanding of the totality
of why people are doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is Ganondorf doing
like
this?
Like maybe he's not just insane. Maybe there's like some real reason there that,
right.
You know, you're just not, you don't see because you're not living his life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a thing I've wanted them to do. I don't know that they would ever go that deep.
He's sending money home to his wife and kids.
The sequel idea comes up a lot just because if it's related to Breath of the Wild, I get like a Majora's Mask style feeling. I get it's not like 2 years, it's three. But Majora's Mask came out in 2000 when Ocarina of Time came out in 98. Mm-hmm. It was built on the same engine.
Mm-hmm.
And they did something unique with it. This one wouldn't be as rushed. So it went, and it was going to be open world because he clearly said open world is going to continue. So I think sequel is almost likelier, unless they were already planning to do a prequel. Like if that was already planned from the beginning, then okay.
But the thing is it sets up
I know.
So well to have a prequel.
But here's the thing.
And then where do you go with the sequel?
A lot of Zelda games set up well to have a prequel, and it never happens.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword has so much stuff going on in it that is referencing to a prior era that we're never going to see. Ever. Ocarina of Time.
No, watch it come out of left field. That's where we go with the new Zelda.
Has references to a war. Has references to Link's mother dropping him off in the woods to the Great Deku Tree. All this stuff that we're never going to see. That is perfectly set up for a prequel that we'll never, ever see.
God.
Because here's the thing about Zelda. This is the wonderful thing about Zelda and the frustrating thing about Zelda. The wonderful thing is because they give you little tidbits, but they don't actually show you everything that happened. It leaves things up to interpretation. It leaves you to fill in the gaps. It leaves you to use your imagination, you know, connect the dots on the timeline. Yeah, they finally gave us, you know, the timeline, but you can still look at the timeline and be like, okay, this is why I think these two games connect.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them connect on the events we know happened in between. And Hyrule Historia helps a little bit with that, but it doesn't give us all the details either. It just gives us more details than we've had before.
Right.
So that's one thing. Another thing is that Miyamoto has self-admitted when he was making Zelda games and stuff that, like, he doesn't care about story. It's just gameplay. All he cares about is the gameplay. Okay. Eiji Inoue, thankfully, cares a bit more about story than Miyamoto does. That's why almost every game that he's been involved in, including Ocarina of Time, which I think he was a dungeon designer on, there's been more story.
Mm-hmm.
And the story has kind of evolved, and I would argue it's gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. Like Skyward Sword to me, whether or not you like the story, it had a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very deep and very, the tropes, and we could talk about all that, but like, it had a very deep story to it. Breath of the Wild, to many people, feels like a step back. And they think the step back happened specifically because it was their first true open world 3D game. Some people think Ocarina of Time is the case, but not really. You still can't just go anywhere and do anything you want in that game all the time. You're still limited. Yeah, you can kind of glitch your way through things and do it, but that's the game's not letting you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You are breaking the game to do that.
Right.
So I think that Breath of the Wild being the first truly open, like Zelda 1 style open, go anywhere from almost the very beginning.
Yeah.
I think they just wanted to have a good story, but do it in a way where the player didn't feel obligated to experience all of it. And because of that, the story itself was naturally a bit lighter. Now, I do think that they did something different with Breath of the Wild. I honestly think Breath of the Wild, it might have the deepest story and the deepest lore of any Zelda game. The problem is, anyone that just plays the main quest and just, you know, gets all the cutscenes,
mm-hmm.
And just does the main line of stuff and gets to the end, they're only, to me,
you're
experiencing like 1/4. Of the actual lore and story that's in this world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is reliant on self-discovery. Not just reading Zelda's diary, reading everyone's diaries.
Mm-hmm.
I know we could talk about, like, maybe you should be reading people's diaries, but, like, it's there. Reading all the stones
right.
in Zora's domain. Like, there is a lot of reading.
going
in
through
this game. There's probably enough reading in this game for it to be like 8,000 page book.
Right.
And if you actually bother to read all this stuff and pay attention to what it's saying, and actually like care, there is so much story and so much lore and so much everything, like so much life in this world. It's such a lived in world.
Yeah.
But you don't understand that if all you're like, oh, I went through the cutscenes and the cutscenes were nice and everything, but like, you know, this story's weak. It's like, there's more to it. But that's the thing. Breath of the Wild is like an onion. It's got layers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you how deep you want to go into those layers to find it out. What?
And they're like ogres too then.
Yeah.
Because ogres have layers. Are you counting the memories as part of the main story?
Yeah, they're absolutely part of the main story.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah.
I mean, I know they're optional like anything else, but the main objectives kind of guide you a little bit towards them. I know sometimes you have to explore to find them.
Yeah.
But they're like, the memories are kind of like the backstory, right? I think that's the weird thing about this game is that the backstory is the story, but the backstory, it's explaining to you why the world got to where it was. And how everyone failed.
Yeah.
But it's not really explaining to you anything in the here and now, right?
Right.
So, and a lot of that here and now stuff, you have to get through the exploration, through talking to the characters.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the side quests.
Yeah.
If you, like a lot of people get the side quests, like, oh, go over, you know, oh, I got to go defeat the bandits here, or I got to go get this item here, I got to go plant this or do this. Okay, that's fine. But pay attention to what they're saying. If you actually hear what they're saying, they're telling you about things happening in the world. Like, it is very much a lived-in world, kind of like real life. There's a lot going on in the real life, but if you're not searching for it, your story can be boring.
Yeah.
Like, if you just sit in your house playing video games all day doing nothing else, not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with that, but if that's what you choose to do, there's a lot of stories in life you're not going to be able to tell or know about or explore.
For sure.
You're not going to know about some of the things in nature. You won't know. Well, I should say you can't know because you can learn things, but you're not going to learn it through experiences. And Breath of the Wild, to me, has experiences combined with lore, combined with reading, combined with doing things.
Yeah.
The only thing that really, two things that don't really make much sense to me are the shrines and the Korok seeds. I'm not saying I hate them all, but what I am saying is, like, lore-wise, it's kind of weak from what we can tell.
Right.
And that's one reason why a prequel would be nice to know for the shrines. We know, but gameplay-wise, why the shrines exist.
Right. But why all of a sudden we go from dungeons to shrines?
Why is there so many Sheikah shrines?
Yeah.
Like, the Sheikah were prominent again, so why did they build a bunch of shrines this time and they never did that before?
Right.
I don't get it. Like, there's a lot of unexplained stuff, but that's part of the mystery.
And then why are Koroks giving you seeds and only to get you a giant golden pile of poo at the end of it? Spoilers.
That golden poo might be special. In the sequel.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't,
you can sell it off.
Sell it off for unlimited rupees. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think... so if it's a sequel, it's like, is there anything from this game you want to see carried over? God, I mean, we talked... the engine we know. Okay, yeah. We want the physics engine brought over.
Obviously.
Like, and it's too good to use in just one game.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
This is the Zelda team, though, and they're known to just use things in one game.
Right.
Hopefully this is an exception.
I mean, and then you got the attention to detail with the horse hooves, the animal running, the
wind, and the thing is, you could still change art styles and use the engine. That's
Anyways. But the fact that they had all that detail
to like throw that all away, like,
well,
it feels like a sequel,
quote unquote, throw it all away.
That's why a sequel or a prequel feels like it needs to happen,
right?
And I don't think people are going to complain about it being even a similar art style. It might look crisper because it's made from you know, for Switch, not for Wii U, but still, it's going to look more like the same. That might upset some people. I don't know.
Like, I liked it.
A Breath of the Wild 2 really upset people.
You're right.
I mean, come on. If you loved Breath of the Wild, you're probably going to really like Breath of the Wild 2.
I don't know where you would...
Or does some of the luster wear off? Is that something we should worry about?
I don't know where it would go, though. Granted, I haven't beaten the game yet, but...
Yeah, that...
Fully beaten the game.
Beat the game. Oh, and you got to beat the DLC. Yeah. Because there's, you know, there's extra story that happens post-game. I won't spoil that for anyone who hasn't done it yet, but do that, and then you can kind of see where potentially the game might be able to go.
Gotcha.
Potentially. There's a lot of, like, weird things going on that, anyways. The thing is, I think that the only thing I have concern about a sequel, especially a sequel that sticks to this open world thing, is did Breath of the Wild feel so special
That you're
because
never
it was, like, the first we've seen Hyrule like this, the first we've had a physics system like this, the first of all these things. And if they retread those things and give us a new game in the same world, or even like a world that's next to Hyrule, you know, has its own conflicts and its own things going on, or for some reason we revisit Terminus for some reason, which would be awesome. But that happens, but a lot of the luster, does it go away because we know what an open world Zelda is like now? We know what these physics are like now. They're not like as new and as fresh and as exciting as they might have been the first time. For me, it doesn't. For the general public, would that be a concern? Like, hey, yeah, it's still great, but
Been there, done that. Just with how good it is, I don't know how. I mean,
best-selling Zelda of all time.
I mean. Let's put it this way.
You got to build on that.
Let's put it this way. Man comes out every year. Generally doesn't get a whole lot of changes. People still buy it. People are still happy with it.
But that's because the sport is still the same every year.
Right.
NFL football is still NFL football. NBA basketball is still NBA basketball.
But I'm saying the engines. But the
appeal of those games is less about the game. It's more about the sport they represent.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, Zelda does not represent anything but itself.
Right. I suppose.
And the thing is, I just feel like, assuming that this rumor is true, Breath of the Wild is the biggest Zelda's ever been. Right now, in this exact moment, Zelda is a bigger deal than it's ever been in the history of the entire 30-plus years of that franchise.
And that's why you have to do something.
That's why I feel like they got to have something that hits 3 years later that takes advantage of that fact.
Right.
Because if they flip the tea table again and give us like the Wind Waker style, don't get me wrong, I love the Wind Waker, but just completely change everything all over again, like they tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that feels like a lost opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, even if it's a quick turnaround game, even if it ends up not moving the kind of numbers Breath of the Wild did, it's not going to cost you to make what it cost in Breath of the Wild to make either.
No, for sure.
You don't need those kind of numbers necessarily to make as big a profits.
You already have your engine set. You already have your assets. It's a lot of assets.
Maybe it gets bigger. Holy cow. I know Galaxy 2, as an example, didn't outsell Mario Galaxy, but... I mean,
it's possible.
There'll be more units out there.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was launching the Switch Pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Switch XL. Now the second, the sequel Breath of the Wild game is now the one of the, it better not be exclusive, but one of the games that helps launch the Pro or something, if that doesn't come this year.
Or XL, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm just trying to think, it's too popular. Like, they've never been in this position. Last time they had, the most popular Zelda game ever was Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
They quickly followed that up with Majora's Mask, but Majora's Mask's numbers didn't really do that well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they scrapped all that, ended up with, the Wind Waker, and blah, blah, blah. And they did all the handheld games along the way as well.
Yeah.
The thing is, Twilight Princess combined sales across two platforms was the best, but that was combined sales, whereas right now, if you only look at Switch numbers alone, it's already the best.
Mm-hmm.
You combine sales, it's obviously even better, but Switch numbers alone, it's already the best. So, I think that if they do it this time and they don't Majora's Mask it, when I say I want Majora's Mask, it's because I love Majora's Mask. Yeah. But if we're talking about sales, when I say Majora's Mask, I'm not really talking about how I want it to be a condensed... I don't want it to be like you just took the Great Plateau and made that one game.
Yeah.
No, you set expectations with Breath of the Wild. It has to be as big as Breath of the Wild.
Right. I mean, that's slightly smaller, whatever.
But you could reuse things.
Right. No, for sure.
You could reuse the world. And some people might be like, well, if you're just going to reuse the world, why not just release more DLC? I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
You could release a $40 DLC pack that's just... completely changes up Hyrule and just does crazy things.
Yeah.
That could be done, but like an MMO, how it gets a major expansion pack every few years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like there is something more they could do. The thing is, have you been to the edges of Hyrule yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Especially if you go north or west, you can see there's an invisible wall.
Yeah.
I wish they wouldn't have blocked it off with an invisible wall, but there's an invisible wall. Clearly, there's land beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. You can see wildlife on that land.
Yeah.
So they even bothered to not just put trees and mountains. They put wildlife there just to make it feel real.
Yeah.
To me, that means maybe that's the sequel.
They expand the land.
You have to leave Hyrule and go to the lands adjacent.
Maybe. Maybe there's a reason...
And maybe those lands already exist. Maybe they already actually built it out. They just haven't built the dungeons or whatever they're doing in there.
Maybe another kingdom is in peril and you have to go help them out. There is
canon kingdoms adjacent to Hyrule that we basically have never seen. But maybe we know they exist.
Maybe one goes there.
It's in the lore. They exist. We just haven't been there. It's always been Hyrule, Termina, Skyloft.
Yeah.
And Skyloft is basically just floating above Hyrule. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess you could argue Kolohan Island, but that was a dream. Didn't it really exist?
Yeah.
So I guess you floated out in the middle of the ocean. That was the thing.
Nice.
Or the sea or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there. Oh, and New Hyrule. Can't forget New Hyrule. That's not the same as Old Hyrule.
Right.
For all we know, this is New Hyrule that we're in right now. Who knows? But I think it would be cool to finally visit some of the adjacent lands. And heck, get this. Oh.
What?
They would never do this. But imagine that it's a sequel, right? $60 sequel, amazing, hundreds of hours of gameplay, new land adjacent. But you're able to still travel back into Old Hyrule.
Uh-huh.
But you just have to put your copy of Breath of the Wild in.
That'd be interesting. Here's another idea. What if instead of going after Hyrule, Ganon goes after one of the adjacent
isn't he done now though?
I don't know. Ganon, Ganondorf, whatever. I feel like
he's destroyed at this point. Maybe there's only reseal. You know what? I have to go back and rewatch the end.
But
might only be a resealing.
What if he goes after a couple of the adjacent kingdoms to try to build an army to come back to take over Hyrule?
There have been some major battles in Zelda that we've never seen play out.
And then you have to go stop him from creating that army.
What if you had to recruit your own army? Obviously you'd be recruiting the generals, but like, wouldn't that be sweet to have one epic battle out in the middle of one of those fields?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's totally against what Zelda is, but I just keep thinking Braveheart. So
then you end up in Zelda.
Hyrule Warriors?
Yes, Hyrule Warriors.
But that's the thing. Yeah. If they did it in Hyrule Warriors, why not here? It doesn't have to be hack and slashed away.
Right.
It's not how Zelda combat works, but...
Oh, no, for sure. But that'd be an interesting concept.
Stop making me wet myself.
I know. Now, completely other direction.
What's that?
Could you see them making a mobile game?
Absolutely. But I don't know that it would be of the traditional type. Like, I don't think they would make a top-down mobile game, at least not now.
Right.
Down the line, sure. Now, like I don't think they're going to, like, pocket camp it. Mm-hmm. They could because they have a style of game that could work. Like, Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass works completely on touch controls. So they've already built Zelda games that could do that.
Right.
So they could do that if they wanted. I think what they might end up doing is more like the mini games.
Mm-hmm.
They could do, like, a mini game style thing on phones.
Oh, that'd be kind of interesting to get like all the different I can't remember some of the games that they had inside of all the other Zelda games.
Bomba Choo Bowling.
Yes, yeah. Get like those like a collection of those mini games and put them on the phones. The
snowboarding.
Yeah,
they had a snowboarding thing. Twilight Princess.
Well, then you
technically
have
you can snowboard over Hyrule.
Yeah, you don't have to snowboard. you can shield surf.
Shield surf.
But and then how many you always play Chicken Run where you get to grab a cocoa and see how far you can survive and dash
that would be fun.
Yeah.
I mean even in Breath of the Wild they have that one where you jump off the tower and you see how far you can go.
Yeah.
That's technically like a mini game.
Yeah.
They also have like the bowling. Like we talk about Bomb Shoot, but in Breath of the Wild like there's the one where you roll the boulders down.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That's a quick way to get money, by the way, for those who are trying to like run out of rupees, like that mini game. Once you figure out the spot to do it, like you won't get a strike every. They patched it out. There used to be a particular spot you could do the boulder and you'd get a strike every time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, okay, like that's not intended, so they kind of patched it out. So you can still get a strike a lot of times if you find the spot. But it's still a good money maker. It's just not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, something that's like a mini game collection like those. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be nice. Because like mini games have been in Zelda forever. I mean, dating back to the original Zelda one, you know, money making game. that's right. They actually had gambling in the very in the very first Zelda game. They had gambling, money making game,
pot smasher,
oh,
mini game. Just a pot smasher mini game.
Can you imagine if like they took one of those bubble wrap apps that you can like pop bubble wrap and all they did was make it pots?
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
You've gained 1,000 points for the 5-pot combo.
Right. Right.
Someone's probably already made one, like a ripoff version or something. But
yeah.
Oh, man, that would be good. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, I don't know, like, you guys out in the audience, you know, let me know. Let us know, like, what you are thinking for the next Zelda game. Whether it's, let's think of, like, for a next new Zelda game. Rather than like a remaster or a remake,
because that one surprised me either.
Because I think like the Link's Awakening remaster thing, I want it to be real. I don't think it is, but like Skyward Sword HD, I think is absolutely going to happen someday. Stuff like that. Like I think those are conversations to have another day. But today we talked about Breath of the Wild sequels and prequels. Like, what are your guys' ideas? What do you want to see? What did you like from Breath of the Wild that you want to come over? What things do you want them to change? I'm already going to jump ahead of you. 99 of you, if there's 99 comments, are going to say we want big dungeons.
Yeah.
So there you go. We didn't even talk about that, but I know that's a desire that people have. So duly noted, let's come up with something more original than just the every time I bring this a conversation like this up, everyone's like, dungeon. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
Besides that. Okay. Like, I get it. You want it. It's a desire. That's why we didn't talk about it. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to have him back. But let's like, what else? What else can make the game special?
Yeah.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. I did want to touch a little bit on some stuff for some predictions or some hopes for 2019, but I think we'll save that for the next podcast. We have a patron coming on the next podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So that's going to be fun, and we can maybe get them involved in a conversation about the rest of 2019, and who knows? Maybe we're talking about a Nintendo Direct at that time.
Maybe.
That'd be really cool. We actually have a lot of jam-packed stuff for this month, not just in patrons coming on and topics, but like, man, the end of the month is the fiscal report. So we finally get an update of the holiday sales. So that's going to be crazy. And I think we have a patron, Corey, who definitely wants to be on that one because he actually does some of that reporting. He kind of breaks down the report and puts it up on a Reddit thread that people watch. So,
nice.
He definitely is all up on that. You guys know I'm all up on the sales figures. We talk about it all the time. And Eric's just always like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. And then he says something really weird. And then we move on.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
Having someone on this just as hyped about sales numbers as me is pretty exciting. So
yeah,
it's going to be a jam packed month. 5 podcasts being recorded.
That's nuts.
Month. Only 4 technically release in this month.
That's nuts.
Because technically, the one that would have been close would have been the one that was going to release on the 31st. That didn't happen. But whatever. There's going to be 5 recorded this month. That's crazy to me. That's awesome. Please look forward to those. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Ninty Prime, and you can follow Eric
at Emo8790.
Oh, yeah. Be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/NintendoPrime. You know I already went through that stuff at the beginning, but hey, you know what? Check it out. It supports the podcast, supports all the other videos I do that he also is part of as well sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this Nintendo Prime a thing. Like, If I'm going to say one thing about 2019, it's this is the year, folks. This is the year Nintendo Prime becomes a household name.
Heck,
it's happening.
Yeah.
Got to have that confidence. Got to have that faith. I'm counting on you.
There you go.
Mr. Iwata, bless me from above.
Right.
This is our year.
Right.
All right. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.